for those, the song that we've been singing, it's in the context of what we've been learning about just receiving the incredible gift of Christ's righteousness that God has given to us. And now, because of the power of sin is broken, and we're no longer slaves to that power of sin, we can now offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness. And that's the reality of this song, where we can just give it all to be an instrument of righteousness. So, Father, we want to thank you for the miracle of being born again by the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for the miracle of becoming a new creation in your Son, Jesus Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Thank you that you are teaching us and guiding us on how to live in this truth. Thank you that you are busy washing away strongholds in our mind concerning our past, concerning just so many things, and really beginning to grasp the truth, who we are in your Son, Jesus Christ, the life that we have in him. We're beginning to really begin to understand in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And we want to thank you for your grace guiding us into this truth, guiding us step by step, leading us to discover who we really are, Father, as your children. And this we thank you as you today share. And again, as we said early on, we receive what you are going to share with us through your word this morning and then through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to start off here in James, where we looked, a portion we looked at last Sunday, and then we're going back to the John chapter 15, just to build on a little bit from the previous Sunday. So I'll recap a little bit. But we've been looking at the reality, one of the evidences, and it's the fruit, it's the reward of Jesus that we are busy experiencing and living. And one of the things that we looked at last Sunday, and we want to continue this morning, is because of this righteousness, it brings us into a relationship that the Bible describes as a friendship with God, becoming God's friends. And here we see concerning Abraham, and this is James chapter 2 and verse 23, and scripture was fulfilled and says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Remember, we are enemies of God. So we can't say, I'm God's friend. This is God's work. God called Abraham his friend. God calls us his friend. And so this is all God's incredible involvement in our lives and bringing us into a relationship of what he calls our friendship. And you, as we go through John 15 now, you'll see it's not just our kind of friendship. This is pretty deep friendship. This is something very special. This is a friendship between God Almighty and us as man. It's not buddy-buddy kind of friendship. And it's so beautiful. There's so much life in this friendship. And so, just to point out over here that because of righteousness, remember Romans chapter 5, because of righteousness, we've been justified. We are now at peace with God. We have access into this grace through Christ Jesus by faith. And so we're starting to experience the life of what we've received, this incredible, incredible gift of Christ's righteousness that is given to us as a gift. It's not our righteousness. This is God's gift to you and I from Romans chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 that we've looked at some time. So in John chapter 15, last Sunday we went through some of these scriptures and we'll spend a bit more time and explain a little bit more. Here, we begin to see that Jesus begins to call us friends. And I'm going to read from verse 12 onwards, John 15, verse 12. We read over here, I have told you this. Well, let me go verse 10, 9, 9. Sorry, it'll be easier. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And that's going to play a big part in understanding this friendship relationship that we have with God. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, love each other. Now, when we read through this portion of scripture, and I want to focus on here in verse 13 and 14, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, imagine if I come to you and I say to you, you will only be my friend if you obey me. Does that sound like friendship? The very next verse he says, I don't call you slaves, but I call you friends. See, so there's something different over here in regards to what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that in order for me to be your friend, you've got to obey me. Remember, sin is rebelliousness towards God. It's impossible for you and I to obey Jesus in our own strength. Something had to take place for you and I to be able to obey Jesus. See, this is all of God. This is what he has done for us. And so we need to look at this differently, because this word if, I was chuckling with someone the other day, this word if, it's two letters, and now I've got to spend half an hour or so to try and speak about one little word if. But there's a lot in this little word if. So this word if is not conditional. It's not the if that says, if you do this, I'm going to do this. This word if is so important because this word if is the evidence of something that's already been done. That's what this word if is. So here we see that my obedience to Christ is based on something that has already been done by him. That's empowering me to be able to obey. So my obedience is the testimony, it's the evidence of something far greater that's taken place in our lives. See, that's crucial, because many people, many Christians are trying to obey God from just their own ability, not understanding what has taken place that's empowering us to obey God, that's enabling us to obey God. And this is what Jesus is explaining. So the whole chapter 15 or 14 and 15, he's speaking about abiding in me and I'm in you. My word remain in you. What will take place? Because I'm the vine, I'm empowering you to be able to bear much fruit. Obedience is the evidence of him empowering us, of us abiding in him and us bearing much fruit. It's his life in us. And obedience is that incredible joy for you and I to be able to see the fruit coming because of us abiding in him and him abiding in us and his word abiding in us. His word abiding in us. Yeah. So here we see here in verse 12 where Jesus says over here, greater love. Well, let's go to verse 12 here. My command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. So here we see that incredible standard, to love each other as I have loved you. That's the whole reality of this new creation in Christ Jesus, the whole reality of the power of that old Adam nature being crucified. So it's no longer the self-centered love that we have, but this is the love of Christ. And he says over here, greater love has no one than this, and lay down his life for his friends. So this is proceeding. Jesus saying, if you love me, you're my friend. So all of a sudden we're starting to speak about something that took place, a greater love that took place where Christ himself laid down his life for all of us. Because of this greater love, now we are able to love one another. We are able to obey. So he's telling us something about the power of abiding in Christ that's empowering us to obey our Lord Jesus Christ because we are living in the reality of this great love of God. Abiding in him. The evidence of our disobedience, or our disobedience is the evidence that we are not abiding in his great love. How will the world know that we are disciples of Jesus? How will the world know that we are abiding in him and he in us? Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Then the world will know that you are my disciples. You see, it's this abiding in this love of Christ that's enabling us to love one another so that the world can see that we are his disciples. We are the fruit of abiding in him. So he's starting to teach us more and more of the reality of understanding that prayer that Paul prays, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enable us to grasp the depth, the width, the love, the height of the love of Christ Jesus, so that we may grow into the fullness of Christ. So it's a powerful prayer that Paul is praying. And here we see something that as we're praying for one another, as we're beginning to receive, because it's about receiving this morning, to begin to acknowledge, but Lord, I'm living as a child of God, I'm living in the reality of this incredible great love that your son died for me. And because he gave his life, I'm a friend of yours. I'm no longer an enemy. I've received this love by faith. See, as we're renewing our mind to this, as we're getting into agreement with truth with this, we're starting to find this powerful work that what we call the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:2, working within us, empowering us because of our love for God, knowing that we are loved, we love because he first loved us. So our obedience to him is from a place of incredible love for him. Practical way. Steve, I said I'll help you today. Wives. Practical way in the marriage. We often go through these things, but look at Ephesians 5. Where Paul is speaking about wives and husbands. Now, I want to build this on the fact that our obedience to Jesus is based on the fact that we are living loved by him. We are living in the reality of this great, great love of God. Now, husbands and wives, you're going to get a massage on your leg today, Steve. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, how many husbands and how many wives are this, chuck this verse out? This is an ugly verse. There's no ways I'm going to submit to my husband. Husbands are saying, well, you know, all this rubbish that takes place. But let's have a look. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, the church submit... Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Now, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Can you see? The wife voluntarily submits to her husband out of the reality of the husband's incredible love as Christ loved. So when husbands are moaning and their wives aren't listening, etc., you've got to stop. You've got to stop and say, but am I living in the reality of this mighty love of Christ that's empowering me to love my wife as you love us? You gave your life down for us. As a consequence of that, something takes place in the marriage. The wife may be saying to herself, no ways, I'm not going to listen to my husband, he's an alcoholic, etc. But Paul says you can't use that there, because as you submit to Jesus, I'm submitting to Jesus because I'm living in the greater love. And because of the evidence of me living in the greater love, I obey Him. When did we die? That's back to that question. We died when Christ died. We were raised as a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. This new has come. And so we're beginning to understand, because of living in the great love of God, He's empowering us to be able to obey. Another translation, let me read what another translation puts it. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by His love. Last translation there. How's the obedience going with Jesus? You know, one of the incredible scriptures we read in 1 John 1, where that His blood continuously purifies us from all sin. Some time back, the Holy Spirit starts to speak to me, and He just starts to highlight, there's a little bit of rebelliousness in you. And I praise God for that scripture. His blood continuously cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And so straight away, thank you, Holy Spirit, for highlighting this rebelliousness there. I wasn't even aware, but the Holy Spirit highlights anything that's a stumbling block. The Holy Spirit highlights so that we can get rid of that, that we can walk and run the race. So it's just simply, Lord, thank you. I confess it suddenly, Jesus, thank you for your blood, just that washes me clean of this rebelliousness within me. I receive that incredible ministry of you, Holy Spirit, empowering me to be able to live a life that is yes to Jesus Christ. And instantly it's dealt with. And that, and you find there's a joy of obedience to Jesus Christ. We're going to become very aware of whether we're living in the reality of the great love of God or not. The struggle of obedience will be the whistle of the Holy Spirit to say, ah, you're not living in the reality, because God's love empowers us to obey. It nourishes our heart. It empowers us to obey Him. It's a joy to obey Him. It's a whole different story. So you've got something to share with your friends, because many of your friends will say, I mean, I'm struggling to obey God, to submit to His will. It's a struggle. They just don't know God's love. Bottom line. Pray that they get a revelation of how much God loves them, and He gave His life so that they can become friends with God. So this friendship is a big thing in our lives. What a privilege and what a joy that we are called His friends. And now we start to see a little bit more of the benefits or the fruit and the life of this friendship. So Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. So that's what He's done. So we are living in the reality of this greater love of God. You are my friends if you do what I command. The evidence that you obey me is because you're living in the reality of my great love for you. And I've broken that power of sin, and now you're able to live a new life in me because you've been raised from the dead in Christ Jesus, and you're able to live a new life because the law of the Spirit of life is so powerfully working within you, empowering you. You've got the fruit of the Spirit of God. You've got God has poured His love into your heart. You've got everything that you need to be able to live a full, fruitful life in Him. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. Simply receive this by faith renew the mind. Thank God for what He's given to us. Receive this. Receive. Receive what He's done into our lives. And so He says over here then, in verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command, love each other. So we start to see the reality of being a friend of God. We live knowing that we are loved, first of all. Crucial. We live knowing that we are incredibly loved. Speaking to someone, it was Friday morning. A son is battling through addiction. The mother is there, and you know what it's like when a child is battling with an addiction, where as a parent you're like hovering over them, you know, every move. It's like, you're not on my side because you're going to take a gang or drink a gang, whatever it may be. And one of the keys is to know that God loves His son just as He loves her. The confidence that God loves is such an incredible place to be, such a rock. God went after us, and you think He's not going to go after your son or your daughter or your spouse? Christ has already paid the price. It's already done. Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to say, no, that what Jesus did, I'm not going to even release that and empower and touch people's lives? No, I take from Jesus and I make it known. Confidence, faith, an incredible love of God for mankind. It's not His will for any to perish, but all to be saved. See, when we live, God, I'm loved. It changes everything. It changes everything. And so that's one of the realities of being a friend of Jesus. He carries on and he says over here, another reality of being a friend of Jesus over here is that he begins to share with us. He begins to give truth. He begins to give revelation. The Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes it known. So as we looked at last Sunday, we can have our own truth about a situation. And we can go into panic, we can go into fear, we can go into anxiety and all those kind of things. Or because He's a friend, I can come and say, Lord Jesus, this is my truth. This is my fears. This is my anxieties. But what's your truth in this? What is your truth? And as a friend of Jesus, He shares with us His truth by the Holy Spirit, through the Word or whatever way He does it. And all of a sudden now I can take every thought captive and I can now take on and bring it under the Lordship of Jesus. That's your truth, Lord. And all of a sudden there's a hope, there's a faith, there's life, because His truth is always full of life. Spirit and truth is life. And now you're able to use that sword of the Spirit. You've received the sword of the Spirit and you're able to use it against that, whatever it may be. You've got truth. Because He shares with His friends. Not only now, but what is to come. And that's why He said, when I go, as I'm going to ask the Father, give you the Holy Spirit. You, my friend, I'm going to share with you. There's much more that I need to tell you. But when I go, the Holy Spirit is going to come and take from me and share it with you so that our Father is glorified. Friendship with God. We can be real with Him. We can share our anxieties. We can just be real. Real, real, real. You can be more real with Jesus than you can be real with anybody else in the world. See, this friendship with God is deep. It's safe. It's pure. It's greatly loved friendship that we have with Jesus Christ. Some of you probably experienced the joy of just being so real with Jesus. You've experienced the joy of how he shares with you. You've experienced the joy that when you're down and you just can't go on, how he comes as a closer than a brother, and he comes and he puts his arm around you and he helps you to go through the day. Friendship with God. Powerful, powerful, because we are greatly loved. He's given his life for us. And that's why he's called us friends, and we are his friends. Another part of this friendship of Jesus is he goes over here and he says, instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I have made known to you. And this is profound, because the Father knows the future of our children, of our family. The Father knows the future of our country. He knows it. And now in a friendship relationship, it's such a beautiful thing to hear, as I shared last Sunday, go back to Abraham. How Jesus comes and shares with Abraham what he's about to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Friendship with God. What about our nation? What about our families? What about our town? What about a place of work, our schools? Friendship. Jesus, share with us what you're wanting to do over here. And now, because his love's empowering, we're able to obey and press in and work with him on what he wants to do. Friendship. It changes everything. And he goes on and he says, yeah, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Friendship brings purpose. It brings reason for existence in our lives. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I gave my life. Greater love. I gave my life. And I chose you to go and bear fruit. Because you're abiding in my love, abiding in the vine, abiding in me, you're bearing much fruit. Friendship. It gives you purpose. Slavery, all you're doing is duty. Religious duty. But not this friendship. This is from a place of deep, deep love. Now he carries on, and can you believe this? Friendship enables us, as I've been speaking all the time, to obey him. Can you imagine the incredible, the purity, the holiness, the brilliance, the plans that God has for us, the awesomeness of God? Just look at creation. Know everything that he has. And everything that he shares with us is so pure, it's so good. He's created us. And he says, this truth I'm giving to you because you're a friend, I love you. How stupid it would be not to obey him. How pathetic it is not to obey him, knowing that what he's sharing is for our good. It's how he's designed us, how he's created us. And that is why, as a friend with God, as he shares us truth, what a joy for us to obey him, because it's bringing life to us. What a friend that is able to take, he's the Son of God, who knows it all, Almighty. What a friend to be able to say, listen, you think you're living in a nice life over here, let me teach you, if you start to obey me, I'm going to take you into, unto me, unto him who's able to do immeasurably more than what I've asked or imagined. Friendship with God. It just takes us into another dimension of life and purpose and reason for existence. Instead of trying our own little plans plot out our life. Ground-bound stuff. That's all we're saying there. Have it all, Lord. Friendship with God. So he's inviting us into a relationship, or to growing more and more into this relationship of friendship, as he's giving us more understanding, because he wants to really take us into a greater fullness of life than what we're experiencing right now. He wants us to know him as a friend in a far deeper level than we've experienced before. And that's the invitation, that's the call from the Father's heart for us, to know him as a friend. Anxiety disappears. Fears disappear. The moment they come up, we go to our Lord Jesus Christ in the relationship of a friendship relationship, knowing He gave His life for all. He has made us to be a friend. He chose us. He chose us to bear fruit. And then He goes on in the context of this incredible friendship. He says over here, you will bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in My name. And this is My command, love each other. One of the fruits of us growing into friendship is to begin to see how God begins to answer prayers that we've never believed He would do. From the foundation of a friendship with Him. Because He's sharing with us His truth. We're listening to Him. He's empowering us to obey. He's nourishing our hearts. He's strengthening us. His life is operating within us, the vine and the branches, and we can bear fruit. And whatever we ask in His name will bring Him honor and glory from the place of friendship. So I think we're in an amazing time now where we are saying to the Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You for this. Thank You that You have called us Your friends. Thank You through Your blood. We're no longer an enemy of God, but we've been reconciled by Your blood. Thank You for this greater love that You gave Your life and has called us Your friends. Thank You that we can be real. We chuckle there at the coffee shop because we've got this invisible mask rack. When people come to church, we've got our masks on. We're not real. But at the coffee shop, they somehow hang their masks outside the front door and they become real. They can be real. They can be honest. They can share. They can cry. They can scream. They can get delivered, whatever it may be. Because they walk into a realm of friendship with God. And they experience His friendship. Let us as a body of Christ practice the incredible friendship with God that we can be so real with Him. And that becomes so real with one another. People can walk in and they can experience, but oh, this is not a plastic believers. These are real, genuine believers. They have a friendship with God, and that's tangible in the way they relate with us. Amen. So all the oldies will sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Good. We're going to have communion now. And again, you're going to come and just help yourself over here. But it's just receive this greater love. Know, and this maybe today is just renewing and just once again getting into agreement. God, I live in this greater love of Yours. You've already given Your life. I live in it. It's my reality. And just get into that agreement. What a foundation. Father, we take that prayer that Paul prayed for the body of Christ. And today we want to pray that for us as we come to the communion. And I pray that out of Your glorious riches that You may strengthen us and empower us through Your Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And Father, I pray that we all being rooted and established in this love, we may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and how deep is the love of Christ, this great love of His. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto You, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask for this morning, or what we imagine for this morning, according to Your great power, nourishing us, empowering us, that is at work within us, to You be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen.